This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
Jaguar Scoreboard Show.
JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
This is the Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey after the Jags fall 17-9 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Glad you're with us. Phone lines are open. Here we go. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. To react to the Jaguars' fifth loss of the season, Jags are now 0-5. Bortles didn't have a great day today. A couple of picks, not a great completion percentage. Jags couldn't run the ball. There'll be some questions about route running on third downs, I'm sure. Maybe some play calling questions today. Well, I'm sure that'll be in the queue coming up.
I'm curious, really, to what the overall mood will be. And I'm sure you always get a mixed mood. Not everybody feels the same about the outcome. We've had, sunshiny people calling the first 4 weeks of the season, surprisingly enough. And we've had others just absolutely think the end is here and it's over. They've got no chance to even get better. So, look, they did compete better in this football game. I'm not trying to give you – there's no moral victory, but they were in it.
They're in the game in the fourth quarter.
And it wasn't like the Philadelphia game where you had the big lead and the whole second half, yeah, you were in the game because they were just catching up to you at that point and all the momentum is going the other way. Even at the point, JP, you throw the pick six, okay? You get it back. You don't pick up the first down, and it's a fourth and short. They opt to punt it away, and you put faith in the defense, which has been – by far the weak link of this football team. They get the stop. They get the other opportunity for the Jags offense to go back out there. Offense couldn't come through today. I mean, it's a team game. Obviously, you need all aspects of the team to typically fire on all cylinders, or a lot of them, to get those victories, and just not enough of those cylinders firing today.
It's the frustrating part of a young, growing team and organization is that, you know, last week the offense was okay. I mean, Bortles was good. You know, he had the good start and all that. You had some positive things in offense. The defense gave up so many big plays. This week the defense wraps things up on their end for the most part, and the offense just can't get anything. It's one thing after another, and it's just a matter of getting both sides elevated a bit to try to close out a ball game. And that's going to happen with young football teams and inexperienced football teams. At one point, the Jags had six rookies on the field on offense. That's unheard of.
That really is maybe,
that's got to be a record.
I don't know when you've maybe back in old-timey football somewhere back in the day. Yeah, but I
Canton Bulldogs somewhere.
I cannot recall a half dozen rookies. More than half your players on the field are being, in their first year out there. And today you had – when you have 10 of the 11 starters had less than 10 career starts on offense. That's insane.
All that said, there's going to be people who just don't want to hear it.
And that's fine. That's your prerogative. And as we heard in the pregame show, one of the fans said, just win at home, right? Doesn't matter. I don't care how you do it. Doesn't matter how you do it. If they had found a way to win this game today, and really, the opportunities were there today. At the Pittsburgh touchdown, right? Will Johnson, backup tight end, catches that ball, very close play right there at the goal line. I mean, it's a third down. Pittsburgh's going to have to settle probably for a field goal. You think maybe they try to punch it in. You don't know what happens there, but the Jags defense really showed up today, and the point you made is a good one. It's the consistency week to week. If you got the same performance out of Blake Bortles today as you got last week, maybe that would have been enough defense playing the way that they played. But that's the thing. Sometimes certain aspects of your team, look at all these 34 to 31 scores around the NFL, right? Those defenses aren't necessarily playing well, but they're getting the win because on that day, their offense did enough in that particular game to get the job done.
And I'm going to misquote Gus here, but it's something to the effect this past Monday after the San Diego game. They're still trying to figure out how to win, and that's hard to define what that is, but obviously they're still trying to figure that out as a young team, and that takes time, that takes losses, that takes good performances on defense and bad on all, and vice versa, and that's just the way it is. They're just learning how to win.
Certain fans have had the impression Gus is too happy, right? Gus is always too positive. There's nothing to be positive about. You got to chew these guys a little bit. I think for those people, today We heard the Gus Bite of the Week in the pregame where he talked, hey, look, fans should be ticked off, yeah. right? We're ticked off. And he let you know that. And he was very evident in the postgame. We're not happy about this outcome, right? We're not sitting here. We're one of 32 big boys. We all are big boys at this level. And nobody's going to pat you on the back and send you off with a basket full of orange slices after the game. You got to win or you don't. That's the National Football League, right? So here we go.
3-5-5 NFL 1.
I could use some right now.
Vitamin C would be great.
To bring some on down to the studio. Let's go to the phones for the first time here on the Scoreboard Show today. We'll start with Ryan in Camden County. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's up? What's on your mind?
Oh, well, what game do we have a legitimate shot at actually winning the season?
Next week. Honestly, I said that before this game. I think the Tennessee game is a really, you look at last year, right? You said you're 0-8. You've lost every game by double figures. You went into Tennessee, and that's where the streak began of winning 4 out of 5 games. Jake Locker, we were both right, JP, earlier. Left the game with concussion-like symptoms,
right.
Got checked out, and returned to the game, then hurt his hand. Charlie Whitehurst is not a world beater. This Tennessee team just let Cleveland off the hook. They had him down big, and Brian Hoyer let him back, throwing to the likes of Travis Benjamin. It's not like they're loaded with skill position talent there either. The one thing they can do, though, they ran the football today. Ben
That's
Tate
right.
ran the ball well. They've got to find a running game to get it going. What about you, Ryan? Do you think what do you see being the next game or the first opportunity to pick up a victory?
I don't know. I was thinking maybe Cleveland at home. How do you think our shots are at winning that game?
I think they're good the next several weeks,
right.
JP.
I mean, Cleveland had to rally today to beat Tennessee, in fact. I mean, 29-28 was the final there, but they all have warts. They all do, and they're all – everybody's beatable. Certainly, this is – if you could look at this thing, and you hate to say, look at it on paper, this and that. But we felt going into today that with 3 out of 4 of these games at home, with teams that aren't playing their best football coming up in the month, that – there's a chance for something positive to happen for this team in the month of October.
I still feel that way.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they win next week.
I really wouldn't.
And it's not because, I think the defense is fixed. I just think that Tennessee is gettable. I think we've seen enough elements play well at various times. You just got to put enough of them together on the same day. Yeah. And they do need more help in the playmaker department. Whether that comes from Storm Johnson getting more touches, yeah. whether that comes from the guys like Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson making more plays, finding ways to get some separation. I don't know what it is, but until and unless they get Cecil Shorts and Marquise Lee back, and even then, those guys have to prove that they can make plays for this year's version of the Jazz.
And that's where the rookie thing comes in. Everybody was all about, and I'm not going to bash Hurns here, but everybody's all about Allen Hurns after the first couple of weeks of the season, and rightly so. He had some nice games to start the year. But undrafted rookie comes out sometimes, and drops happen, especially for rookie receivers. And you just got to fight through that. And that's what's going to happen when you have rookies and those kind of players on the field. It's not all going to be great, and a lot of times it probably won't be great. Sometimes things happen like that today.
If I'm Allen Hurts, I just don't listen to any radio this week, honestly,
because right.
it's going to come up.
Because it's going
right?
to be ugly.
And right. you just got – what you don't want is for this guy to start thinking about it, okay? Because he had the big drop earlier. The deep ball was at the Washington game, right? You had the near drop last week that he bobbled, caught it, fell down, couldn't get in the end zone. Didn't cost them. But now you add a few today, and you're starting to think when that ball's in the air, I can't drop this. You don't have to think at all. You just have to react
just
and let
play.
Your natural ability take
you
over.
You got to play.
All right, 3-5-5-NFL-1. Thank you for the call, Ryan. Let's go to Paul out in Jacks Beach. Hi, Paul. What's up, Paul?
Kind of down, man. I came on here last Saturday, Sunday. You know what I mean? I said, we're going to take it to Pittsburgh, man. This is going to be our first win. And, we didn't get it done today, but man, I'm not feeling these things anymore, man. I mean, I want to be positive. I know I was like the only guy positive. I don't want to call and be one of them guys who rips everything Jacksonville, but it's getting tough to turn on this TV set, man. I mean, it's I really expected more this year from this team, and I just don't see an effort there, and that's what kind of gets me. I mean, how do you all feel?
The effort. I mean, you see the effort. You saw the effort from the defense today. I think they obviously had their best game of the year, and it was besides that first half in Philly, I think the effort's there. I think it's the youth, the inexperience, the running the short routes on offense on third and 8. You go 3rd and 7, you get out of bounds. I mean, that's just not going to work. There's effort there. I don't know where you draw the line, though. Where does effort
meet
the inexperience?
I think,
you know what I mean?
Right, and I think effort sometimes shows up in a blowout, All right, in the second half of a blowout. Yeah. It is human nature when you're down big. That shouldn't ever be the case in a one-possession game. This game was never out of hand for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But tentative play can look like lack of effort, I think. And that's one thing Fred Taylor talked about.
Good point.
You talk about a guy like Demetrius McCray, and he's out there, and Fred, you couldn't see him. He said his eyes are like this, and he made his eyes really big. He is a seventh-round pick who didn't play last year. He's getting an opportunity now to prove that he's maybe worthy of a starting spot on this football team. It's a lot on him, and he's matching up at many times today against one of the top receivers in the National Football League. For the most part, I thought he held his own, but you are seeing guys play off in coverage a little bit, and you wonder if that's a lack of confidence that we've gotten beaten so badly at times over the first 4 weeks. Let's not give up the big play. What you end up doing is giving up a lot of that underneath stuff. They pick up 8 yards on first down. All of a sudden, you're in favorable down and distance. That's you right. Start converting a lot more of those third downs.
You know, and just you're talking about defensive backs. Gus Bradley pretty much challenged the defensive backs this past Monday at his press conference. Hey, we got to challenge routes more. And you saw some of that today. Alan Ball was up on a couple. McCray had the one on the goal line where he challenged that route and there was a little more of that than we've seen, but yes, there were some others where you give a little too much cushion and guys get yardage and things happen. But there was a little bit of a step at times today, it looked like.
Look, work in progress, but I fully understand any fan that doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
They're paying their money or they're rooting on their team, and right now they're 0-5 and there's only one other winless team in the NFL.
And they're throwing a lot of pretzels at the TV set, it sounds like, today. The final score 17-9. The Scoreboard Show continues in a moment. We'll look at some scores from around the National Football League. More of your calls. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. More of the Scoreboard Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final score at Everbank Field, 17-9. Steelers are 3-2. Jags are 0-5. Steelers a win today. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, the Scoreboard Show. The Broncos just scored. Peyton Manning to Thomas, 31-yard touchdown. The extra point pending. It's 13-6 over the Cardinals. Broncos lead there halfway through the second quarter. The Chiefs lead the 49ers 10-6. And it's halftime San Diego over the New York Jets 7-0 at Qualcomm Stadium, Mike.
And to be clear, Demaryius Thomas, not Julius Thomas. Got,
there are
got
a couple
choice
of Thomases.
Thomases there.
Thomases, yes.
In Denver, the Thomases. All right, back to the lines we go. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you're outside the 904 area, 1-800-355-NFL-1 gets you on board the Scoreboard Show. Henry is on the west side. Henry, hello. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, guys. I wanted to know, you talk about offense and the defense, but are we getting enough from the special teams as far as punt and kickoff returns? How do you guys assess that, or have y'all taken a look at that to see if we need more big plays on punt returns and kickoffs to maybe help set up the offense to get us some good field position?
Now remember, Ace Sanders was back for the first time today. 3 punt returns, 14 yards. It was something. He didn't play in the preseason either, but it was a lot of times where he was running sideways, it seemed like. And you got to get north and south. No matter who's there, get that yardage and get it back, and maybe you find a seam and go. And for some reason, that didn't happen today. Todman had a couple of kickoff returns today, 255 yards, one of 28 yards. Not a bad
he's
couple of returns
okay
for him. He's
been doing
okay
in that category, but he's not one of those guys that you feel is a threat to take one to the house. At least I don't get that.
He has a track record here of some lengthy returns.
Yes,
he had a couple
right
last year, and he has the ability to be a solid returner.
Look, we talked about this a lot in the pregame. Ace Sanders can come in and spark this team, and that's the area he's got to do it in, JP. And to me, it look, players and coaches may completely disagree with that, but from my perspective, that's not something you need a ton of the preseason and everything. That's an instinctive position. That's something where the ball's in your hand, and that's everything's flying at you, and your instincts kick in, and you're making guys miss. And, look, he came in, and that was supposed to be his primary job. And I understand that he got asked to do a lot more with the offense last year because of the situation with all the injuries at wide receiver, but he wasn't dynamic in the return game. He needs to get going in that department, because if you're not getting the offense and defense on the same page in the same week, That is an area every week. I mean, we see it every week. We see block punts for touchdowns. We see returns for touchdowns. Teams put points up on the board. It doesn't matter how you get them. And to get some, I'm not going to say cheap, but quick scores, game-changing scores, absolutely would help out.
Yeah, ask the Eagles what they think about special team scores. I mean, block punts and Sproles returning kicks for touchdowns. I mean, it changes
their
team.
Teams have scored at least four touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. And, you know, when you win a game today, I believe they won by 6 points today. That's a big impact on the outcome of that football
game.
Right. Henry, thank you for the call. Let's go down to Orlando, talk to Doug next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Doug. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
All right.
You know, I just want to try to put things in perspective a little bit. You know, if you went through the schedule to start this year, did you have us any better than 1-4?
I would have hoped so. Yeah.
Right.
At least 5-0. No. We're not saying that we had them 5-0, but I was certainly hoping 0-5 was not where they're going to be landing at this
point.
And
I hear you. And the point is that, you know, I was in D.C. with Chad Henne, and we sat there and we watched this team kind of blow up for the first 4 weeks. And when I say blow up, I mean we watched them versus the Eagles. We watched them versus Washington. You put Blake in there, and the team's a little better. It's not the best team you've ever seen, but the team's a little better, and that's what you kind of expected this year, was a little bit of a rebuild. And here we are, we're 0-5, no doubt about it. We sit here at 0-5, but the last two losses have been a little bit more tolerable. Would you agree?
Depends on your perspective. Yeah. I'm not going to tell any fan that any loss is tolerable.
That's exactly my point, too. I don't think any loss is tolerable by definition. Did they play better today, and were they closer in this game and a play away or two from probably winning this game? Yes. Is it tolerable? No, I don't think so.
No, I mean, look, and what other teams do is what other teams do, but Tampa was playing just as bad as Jacksonville through the first 3 weeks of the season. They had lost to a guy who, when the season began or when training camp was going on, was the third-string quarterback in St. Louis, the backup Derek Anderson in Carolina. They beat him in Tampa both of those games. They lose 56-14, get nationally embarrassed, losing 56-0 at one point in the fourth quarter against Atlanta. Then they go in and take on Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh just a week ago, and they win that game, and then they go toe-to-toe with New Orleans today. They've shown that they're more competitive, coming off as bad a loss as anybody's suffered in the National Football League this season. That's great, competitive, but W's is where it's at ultimately. And look, if you're a patient fan that has that long view of it, that's fine, but I'm certainly not going to tell any fan out there that 0-5 should be tolerable to them because they played it closer. The bottom line is Jags managed 3 field goals today at home against a pretty mediocre defense. Let's be honest. This is not a world-beating Pittsburgh defense. They came in kind of middle of the pack in sacks and most defensive statistics. They're without Ryan Shazier. I know the Jags are missing their guys too, but, you know, that's life in the NFL, man. You gotta put more points up today. This one's on the offense. It's certainly not on the defense. Let's go to Saqib on the south side next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Saqib.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
What I don't understand is the play calling that we have on third and second down where we need 5-7 yards, for example, and we go for a 5-yard pass. I mean, when is Fish going to start getting questioned about his play calling? I'm really bummed about his play calling today. And the defense did a good job, by the way.
Yeah, they certainly did. Fred talked about this a little while ago. It may be is it play calling or is it young receivers cutting off the route a little shy? Maybe they see a different type of coverage coming after them and they cut it off a little shorter than they should. Should they know a little better where that yardage marker is? Probably. And it goes back to the youth on offense. You have 6 rookies in the game. Some of them are going to have situations. Now, there are other situations where – is it play calling? I don't know. I don't know if it is. It depends on the situation.
It's very difficult to say without knowing what the play calls are.
Exactly.
If we sat and watched the film with Jed Fish and said, what's the call here? What are you trying to accomplish? Now, I think as well, a point I tried to bring up with Fred is there's generally an outlet guy, okay, whether it's a back or a tight end, that's going to be in there in that short range and – you can't send everybody down the field.
Exactly.
So if nobody's getting open on those routes that are going past the sticks because they're not getting any separation, or because the Steelers are squatting on those guys, they're not playing off coverage, and you're not getting that chance to run up to the sticks and get that easy completion, then you have to take the check down sometimes, and it's on that guy to make a play.
Hope he gets there, right.
I mean, remember, hey, diddle, diddle, Ray Rice up the middle. What was that, a 3rd and 29 or whatever that was? And sometimes you got to make plays beyond the X's and O's that use that expression again that we talked about in the pregame, JP.
Yeah. So it's a balance. There's something in there, but there were a couple other instances where, you know, we saw it today on, I forget exactly the play, where a Sanders reception. He's shy of the marker by a yard, runs out of bounds.
That one is a one I think will stick in some people's minds.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know, did that route call for him to go beyond the
sticks? Because you'd like to think that if Jed's going to have a play call in that situation, that the route is set to go longer than the distance.
Right.
That's what you hope in your mind is the case.
Particularly
you don't want to leave
pattern,
it to chance,
right?
With 2 yards shy.
With that pattern, he's running full bore to the sideline.
Right.
There's no chance for him to turn that up and gain the first down. So it's either, do I get my feet in and I'm going to be short anyway, or do I not get my feet in and I'm going to be short of the first down? So you do wonder, was that Ace Sanders' first game back? Did he run the proper depth on the route? We'll have to find out.
And was there a check from the quarterback to him or something that they worked out to hey, if this happens, we got to cut it short somehow? We just don't know. And we'll find out, I guess, tomorrow.
So, Keith, thanks for the call. As always, let's go back to the phones at 355-NFL-1. Rick is on the west side next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
I just want to say I don't have anything really to say about the game. I was at the game today. It was great. I mean, yeah, obviously we wanted to win. But I just want to say the game experience was awesome. I think that Jacksonville should be proud of their fans, proud of their stadium, and proud of where they're going, even though they don't have the wins yet.
All right.
That's fair.
Yeah. You know, the place was packed. It sounded incredibly loud. I'm so little time in the press box during the game, so
I'm here in the cave. So
right.
Yeah.
We're in the cave. Yeah. We're watching the TV broadcast, but from talking with Fat Tony and other people who are up there, it was absolutely phenomenal. Atmosphere.
You could feel something in the pregame inside Gate 1 today. It was just a little different feel today with the Steelers coming in, and we knew it was going to be a sold-out game. They were selling standing-room tickets today, and that's good. That's a great call. That's a glass-half-full call. I like that.
I mean, look, there are some areas of positivity, and you know, and you feel like sometimes when you point those out that the fans who are hung up on the 0-5, and that you're very right to be, think you're kind of crazy, but different people look for different things, and small steps for some are enough to get them by.
Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. And when we return on the Scoreboard Show, more of your calls. Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Final score 17-9. Steelers over the Jags. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Welcome back, Jags fans. Score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Scoreboard Show continues. Final score at Everbank Field in Week 5. Steelers 17, the Jaguars 9. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Scoreboard Show continues. The phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The Broncos lead the Cardinals, by the way, almost two-minute warning in the first half, 14-13. Couple of touchdown passes today for Peyton Manning. He has now become the second quarterback in league history with 500 or more touchdown passes, joining Brett Favre. He only needed one to get to 500 today. He has two on the day, so he's at 501. Remarkable number for a guy who's been around for a long, long, long time.
Clearly one of the greatest regular season quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Oh
that's right. I said
jab.
I said clearly. That doesn't mean anything else. But Philip Rivers also hooking up with Antonio Gates for a couple of scores today. They set the mark, I believe, now at 65. Most touchdowns between a quarterback and a single tight end in NFL history.
Wow.
Most prolific. You figure guy like Tony Gonzalez never had that one QB year after year after year. that he played with for that length of time.
By the way, the Chargers lead the Jets 14-0. That's early second. The Chiefs over the 49ers 10-6 late second quarter.
How about that? All right, let's get back to the lines. 355-NFL-1. Jags fall to 0-5 today at the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers, 17-9. The final there. Trevor is on the south side, and he joins us here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. Good. What's up?
Hey, just want to check and see, what do you guys think of what's been going on with our offense and our defense? Which do you think is helping us more? Which do you think is hurting us more? I was not at the game today, unfortunately, but just wanted to see what your guys' intent was. I listen to the show every day.
Sure. Thank you, man.
I think the run game hurts you more than anything, the lack of a run game.
At this point, it's been the one most consistently disappointing thing.
I mean, it is.
Every week.
You cannot rely on it at all. There's nothing. If things aren't going well in the pass game, maybe you can run ball. There's nothing.
Well,
and if things aren't going well for Bortles through the air, there's nothing to fall back on offensively right now.
Here's what you need to know, JP. They had a 15-play scoring drive, and they lost time of possession by over 10 minutes today with a 15-play drive on their side.
That's true.
And they just you can't grind the clock. You can't sustain it because, look, maybe you're going incomplete completion, but the clock's not moving. You're not eating that up. You're not helping your defense out. Now, keep in mind, coming into today, I think the defense was in the crosshairs more than anything, particularly the pass defense. Today, that was not the case. And at least for that standpoint, I'm glad there's something else. I'm glad there is another cause. I'm not glad that there are multiple causes, but it's going to, if you're coming here every week and you're like, we can't stop anybody, you just feel like there's no hope. At least today, you feel, all right, you held them to 17 points. You can win a lot of games when you hold the opposition to 17 points.
Right, and only 10 on the opposition's offense. So, really, a 10-point day for
right,
the defense.
Right, the defense gave up 10 today.
I mean, that's winning football is what it is defensively, is what it should be. You feel, and I'm sure Lagerman will have the number, that if you allow, 13 points or less or whatever it is, that's winning football. There's a certain statistical number for that. They were at that number today. They gave up 10 points on offense for Pittsburgh. It was just something on the other side. Couldn't get it done.
355 NFL-1, Dean also on the south side. Next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Dean.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, I listened to your coverage on 1010, and, do you think the problem is you just have too many young players and we're still trying to flip the roster or what? Because I'm really encouraged. I mean, I think we got the right team in place. As far as Mr. Caldwell and Gus Bradley, but do you think it's just, we need to, I mean, obviously Blake Bortles, I think, is the answer, but we need to support him with, offensive linemen that can block and receivers that can, run routes and things like that. What's your opinion on that?
It's certainly a big factor in it, right? The youth, but if they were able to go back to the running game, JP, if Toby Gerhardt comes in here and this offensive line is healthy and they're able to run the football the way they hope to, you're going to take a lot of pressure off these young receivers, and you're going to make defenses commit safeties up towards the line of scrimmage. It's going to open things up for these guys. Now, you couple that with the youth and the one guy you hope would lead that group, Cecil Shorts, cannot stay on the field. Marquise Lee, he was drafted ahead of Allen Robinson. That means more's even expected out of him. He can't stay on the field. And when he has been, he hasn't had that aha moment yet for us. At least with Allen Hurts, he's making mistakes, but he's had those
and
big
Allen
moments.
Robinson,
and Allen
too.
Robinson, yeah.
Both of those guys have had those moments and have been on the field and have, at least up to today, been consistent. Hurts had some drops today, and that's what you relied on early. It's just the way it is with this receiving crew. They haven't had it all on the field, and it's the storyline earlier the season. And for how long is it the storyline will be the question.
And it comes down to, and you hate to hear it, because I hate to hear it. I guarantee you, I hate to hear it. It comes down to a handful of plays, right?
Yeah.
Well, look, they did a pretty good job overall defensively, but how many times did we sit here and say, oh, man, really? Big pass to Heath Miller, and Fred Taylor said that's when they go into the Tampa 2 coverage on third down, and the middle linebacker vacates that area, and they're getting beat on seam routes. And how about the one play? We counted Ben Roethlisberger with four pump fakes on a single play before he's able to throw it downfield. And if you looked at the replay, the guy's smiling. It's almost like he couldn't believe I pump faked four times. So it's just, the pass rush was kind of there today, I felt. They had four sacks today. It wasn't a bad day in that department. Yet on a couple of critical moments in the football game, you're just unable to get to the quarterback.
you have to have a pass rusher that can close something out in a key situation like that. And it's pretty obvious that this team doesn't have that caliber of guy right now.
That one guy that you've got, you force another team to game plan for, you force them to constantly double team, which creates openings for other guys.
It's third and name the distance in the fourth quarter in a one-score game, and you need a stop and a sack.
Right.
You're coming. There's not that guy that scares the offensive line for the other team right now, at least on the edge.
By the way, Peyton Manning's now, I believe, at 502 after hitting Demaryius Thomas for an 86-yard touchdown pass. So we go to Ken.
Cut that meat.
In Dinsmore, he's cutting it. Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. What can we do for you?
Awesome. Hey, I just got a little play call question. In the first quarter, it seemed like Bortles was rolling out and doing a run fake, whatever, rolling out, and he was making really good pass connections. But then they run away from that. I mean, is there a reason for that? Or I mean, it just seemed like they never went back to it. And it seemed like they were making some really good yardage doing that. And I felt like even in the second quarter, they fell away from that. And I'll take you guys' response off the air.
Sure. It's my guess, JP, that when you can't run the ball, at a certain point in time, nobody respects the run fake anymore. And it almost becomes pointless.
Would
now,
you?
I don't know if that's the reason. And sometimes you see things, you say, well, we're going to try this in the second half because we saw this looking at the overhead shots that, maybe we can exploit this area. I don't know. We can't tell you here, sitting here without, having looked at the game from a closer perspective, watching it or talking to somebody who's seen the film or talking to the coaching staff and knowing exactly what's going on in that department. But that's just my layman's guess on that if you can't run the ball, nobody's going to respect that kind of play. So
yeah, I got nothing to add to that. That makes sense. Makes all the sense in the world.
Let's go out to Kevin in McClenny next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Kevin, how are you?
I'm good. I just want to let you know that a lot of people seem to be picking on Ace. I mean, Ace Sanders. I mean, he went, he was a yard short, but this is his first game. How many times did he get to practice with Bortles? If the guy's standing there and Ace runs into him, that's offensive pass interference. They don't have the communication yet to, he's thinking I'm going to break to the sideline. Let me break it off and go downfield and get a touchdown. And, that communication's not there yet. And I just think that Ace is a good, fast offensive player that doesn't play a whole lot of offense, and it just takes time. And I'll take comments.
Absolutely. Thank you for talking.
It's fair, really. 3 days of practice. And how many days of true practice? Probably one Wednesday. They lighten it up a bit on Thursday. They really almost walk through on Friday, if you want to be quite honest, I'm guessing. There is a walk through Saturday, but full game timing, game speed timing is, even in full practice on a Wednesday or a Thursday, is not going to be there in 3 days' worth of work.
All right, I'll play the bad guy here, and I'll play devil's advocate and say, whose fault is it that he only had 3 days of practice? He's the one who got himself suspended for a month. That's in the big picture. He could have been here helping his team. And I'm not trying to crush Ace over this. That's one play that was an easy one to pick out as an example of not running the first down of six. And for all we know, that was the play call or the pattern on that. We'll find out
tomorrow.
Right, that's not the. We're not saying that that's the reason they lost or anything like that. But ultimately, it's not even that to me. He's got to make plays in the return game, and that's where he himself used the quote this summer. That's where my bread's buttered. I've got to make my impact on this team in the return game. Now you hope it's not a case like last year where he gets pressed into duty more than he is expected to in the receiving game because they've had so many injuries. That last year it was injuries, suspensions, what have you. They all pile up. I think ultimately they'd love to have him not be a factor in the passing game, at least not very much.
That'd be ideal.
That means everybody's healthy.
Everybody's on the field
done
and getting things done, and all he has to do is concentrate on returning punts. It'd be awesome.
Let's get John on the north side next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing there?
Great.
Good.
Just had a two-part question for you there. With a team that's 0-4,
You know, we kick a lot of field goals, so I'm wondering, what do we have to lose by going for it on fourth down? And also, my second question there is, we're trying to build our team off of all rookies. When you look at the top teams, you have to get some key free agents. Why are we not doing that also, sir? Thank you.
You're talking about the fourth down, I guess, with what? About eight minutes.
I would say it was more like 8 minutes left.
It was around
the
their own 40, though. I remember that. And it was a one-score game.
In that instance, that decision was borne out because they punted it away. I think Pittsburgh maybe picked up one first down, and they got it back with about 4 minutes to go. So what you have to lose is the football game, because if you don't pick it up, then you give them 10 yards to get in field goal range, whereas it was, you held them even after. If you go for it on fourth and they pick up that one first down, they're kicking a field goal. They're making it a two-score game. Right. Then the game's over.
It's over, yeah. It was fourth and one at the Jacksonville 40 with 9:39 to go.
9:39.
It's a lot of football, but still, you don't want to give them it that short and set up that field goal. And there was another one, fourth and five, at their own 24. You got to punt that away. With 4:13 to play as well.
So, I understand the thinking. If there had been 3 minutes left in the game, or maybe, I don't know what the exact time is, they would have gone for it. But with 9-plus left, and that's a tip of the cap to the way the defense played. As you said, JP, really, don't look at the 17. Look at the 10. They gave up 10 points today, and that's it. They gave up nothing
in the
second half.
I'd throw that defense back out there, too.
They gave up no points in the second half.
Playing great.
I mean, that's the complete opposite of everything we've seen. The times they played well this year, they played well for maybe the first half of the football game, and then they kind of collapsed in the second half. It was the opposite today. They got stronger as the game went on, and Gus trusted them, and that one turned out to be the right call.
17-9 the final. Steelers over the Jags. When we come back in the Scoreboard Show, more of your calls. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. We'll also talk about Firehouse Subs. Josh Scobie is a hero today. And I mean a sub, not a hero. Firehouse.
Oh, nice wordplay there, JP Shadrick.
When we come back, more of the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Phone lines open. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. The Scoreboard Show continues after the Jags fall in Week 5 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 17-9. Remember, field goals for Firehouse. When the Jags kick a 40-plus yard field goal, you get a free medium Firehouse sub with your chip and drink purchase. All you have to do is register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. And today, everybody's happy. Those who are hungry will eat if they are registered. Scobie hit a 43-yard field goal in the first quarter today. So everybody gets a free medium Firehouse sub that has registered at jaguars.com/firehousesubs after going hungry a week ago. They're back in the food column today. <Let's> say.
He didn't make us wait either. He got that one on the board early. Really nice. And we appreciate that.
He hit three field goals today, one from 35, one from 36 as well.
Like we said, we would have preferred getting that field goal, one field goal, after you'd already scored three touchdowns. And that would have iced it today in a 24-17 win in a parallel universe.
Yes, but the planets were not aligned today.
They were not.
And Scobie was the only scorer for this Jags offense, or for the Jags team today. Three field goals, and that's just not going to get it done.
No, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, they're not playing, JP, so well on either side of the ball that when the other side doesn't play well, they can overcome that, right? I mean, sometimes you have a bad day on offense, but your defense scores a couple times for you or whatever, or sometimes you give up 27 points and your offense scores 35 and you're okay. So it's like when one side's playing pretty well, the other side is not carrying their weight right now.
Well, how about this? On the flip side, for the Steelers today, their offense didn't play well. If they're looking at this game, they didn't play well against the Jaguars defense that have been struggling. And the defense bailed them out with a pick six.
Their defense bailed them out, put points on the board, and limited the Jags to only three field goals. So
looking at it from the Pittsburgh, for your black and yellow glasses, that's the view of the game from the Pittsburgh side today. Of course, like you said, it's that you don't have that side of the ball that's going to overcome the other side.
All right, let's go to Thomas on the west side, 355-NFL-1, if you'd like to get in before the Scoreboard Show wraps up in the next 15 minutes or so. Thomas, you're up next. Go ahead. Oh, did he hang up? All right, let's go to Tom on the west side then. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good, I'm fine. is the situation with Jack Justin Blackmon, is he totally out of the picture, or is there any chance after eight games they'd even consider applying to get him reinstated and getting him back in?
I would be just looking at it, I'd be surprised if it's this year. I mean, yeah, he's in a program. The story came out this week. Mark Longer of the Associated Press had the report that he is in a voluntary program, but the Jags don't have any contact with him direct. They're not allowed to. Gus Bradley has contact with his agent, Todd France, but that's about it of how he's doing. I don't think this has anything to do with football, and I'd be very surprised if it's this year if it has anything to do with football. That's just my gut on that.
I mean, look, if it happens, just put them out of your mind. If it happens, it's a wonderful surprise for you, but I would say 1%, if that. I mean, I don't think he's playing this year. I just don't expect it. It would be nice. I understand why you would hope for it. But
not impossible, but I think that the franchise has moved ahead without that for now. I mean, you draft two receivers in the second round. You got a rookie free agent who played well for the most part, and you got Ace Sanders back on the field. They're trying to work with what they have right now. If he's back, it's a luxury. But certainly, if he's back, he's clean and he's playing well, then that receiving core is great. But I just kind of put that aside.
All right, let's go. By the way, if you don't get in before the scoreboard show is up today, you can call 641-1010 or 904-641-1010 if you're outside the Jacksonville area. The fifth quarter is coming.
Hacker and T-Wig both made appearances at the tailgate show.
I saw
today.
Them both today.
And it was epic because I would Hacker say, never comes by.
No, ever. And that in Hacker's terms qualifies as fellowship and camaraderie. He loves that term.
He was there for 10 seconds.
That's Hacker.
Does that count?
You know how I knew it was Hacker? Because his hat's a Hacker. So I was sure. I wasn't sure until I saw the hat.
That's right. He is on radio. Folks who don't know him now would know him with the hat.
Yeah, well, you'll hear him coming up in less than 10 minutes. Okay. Gene in Middleburg, you're next up on the Scoreboard Show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Good evening. Just a quick little comment.
Shoot. Having some trouble.
Anyways, the scoreboards.
Yes.
The way they're set up, you know, they have to score the stats on the side and, you know, our score. But then at some times they'll go to full screen. Just wonder if there's any way they could do full screen during our, when there's actually action on the field, and do the stats and stuff between plays and timeouts and stuff. It seems like that'd be better use of the scoreboards. That was like...
I got you. All right, Gene. That's above my pay grade.
Well, from what I understand, it's just the size of it, the width versus the height. There's a certain limitation to what you can shoot on that size of a board, that wide to that tall. I think it's aspect ratio is the terminology.
Oh, aspect ratio.
So it's like seven wide to one tall, which is you can't shoot anything normally and put it on the board unless it's a very wide shot. That's why, and I've done plenty of stories on this on Jaguars.com.
This is good. No, this is really good info.
The folks who shoot the pump-up videos where the players are trying to get the crowd going and this and that, well, they have to shoot it a certain way. You can't put your arm straight up in the air to go get the crowd going, you know, right? Well, they had to reshoot it because you have to be wide because it all has to be on the screen. So the player's hands go only go up a few inches to get the crowd moving up, and that's the way that was because of the aspect ratio, 7-1 width to height. And
asking you shall receive, J.P. Shadrick, I bow to your greater knowledge.
They don't make cameras like that, so there you go.
They should.
Maybe they should. Maybe they will.
I don't know. We're in the cave, like you say. We don't get to enjoy the scoreboards during the game.
You ask and you'll receive
you
an answer.
You got the info from J.P.
Let's take a timeout because Mike Dempsey's being a little...
I'm amazed. I thought that was fantastic.
Or are you surprised?
That you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know if anyone had that depth of knowledge. I shouldn't be surprised. I won't be next time.
You've got that depth of knowledge about a lot of other things, though.
Not that.
We'll be back. Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1. Last couple of calls after the Jags fall to the Steelers, 17-9. More aspect ratio after this on Jaguars Radio.
Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final segment of... what is this? Scoreboard Show is what this
is. What is this?
J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. The Steelers, a winner today, 17-9 over the Jags. We will get to one more phone call. If you don't get on, the fifth quarter show is next.
Coming up momentarily.
T-Wig and Hacker are standing by. 641-1010 is the number there. More on aspect ratio.
Please.
Standard definition TV was 4-3. The high definition really standard now is 16-9. Jags video boards are 7-1 width to height. What's so that's the reason.
Yeah, what's the issue when I've got a little flat screen that cuts off the edges of the picture? I got too small a TV? Is that what that is? Or?
Well, you just need to adjust your
aspect ratio?
Yeah, like some cinema to whatever it is, right?
Do you want
to
swing by the house and handle that for me? I'd appreciate
right.
that.
Get right on that.
You seem to be the master of that. All
speaking
right.
of television, want to know what's going on within the Jacksonville Transportation Authority? The award-winning Making Moves television program in its sixth season of being North Florida's premier source for transportation news. For airtimes and more, visit JTAFLA.com, and I'm sure that's 16-9 aspect ratio.
Absolutely. High All right, def. Let's go to the west side. Kenny, thank you for holding. Again, 641-1010 or 904-641-1010 if you want to get in on the fifth quarter show. They'll go for two more hours, by the way, taking your calls and debating all things Jaguar with you. Kenny, on the west side, how are you?
Hey, JP and Mike, how y'all doing this?
We're good, man.
Great.
I think the problem with our football team is if you take a look at it, I think it's on third down, both offensively and defensively. Today the defense had the Pittsburgh Steelers in a couple of third and long situations, and they were just able to get them easily. And the second thing I noticed, I thought the defense played well today, but the play calling was sort of vanilla. I listened to the game on the radio, by the way. And I didn't hear Frank Ranger calling, saying that the Jaguars were bringing many pressures. And offensively, we just had too many critical drops. I don't think Blake Bortles was ever able to get in any kind of rhythm because of that. So what do you guys think that we can do to better that situation? And I'll take your answer off there.
All right, thank you, Kenny. I think he's right, though, JP, about third down has been an issue for most of the games this year, yeah. Particularly offensively. 50%, you take that as a team. So the Steelers had, I think, 8-16.
8-16 is still 8 they got.
Right, that's what I mean. I mean, yeah. You take that as an offense if you convert 50% of your third down. So the Jags are not a team that's going to send a lot of exotic pressure at you. They got 4 sacks today. Think of it this way. If you average 4 sacks a week, 64 sacks, that would have led the league last year. Okay, so 4 sacks is not a bad total. But are they getting consistent pressure beyond those plays? And I think – in terms of the vanilla play calling or the perception of the vanilla play calling, which may be accurate, if you don't have somebody that can stretch the field and really put that stress on a defense, I mean, as Fred said, many have remarked on, they are just sitting on that short stuff. And, you know, Fred's watching it from a different point of view we are, Fred Taylor, and he's like, man, no one is getting open. There's just nothing open down the field. So what may be seen as vanilla play calling may just be a case of, you know what? These guys are not getting separation, and so everything we've got to take is underneath, and it looks like that's what we're calling the plays to be, just these 5, 6, 8-yard type passes. It might not be the case. They need playmakers. They need guys that can threaten the defense, be it, you know, in the running back position. They're without Mercedes Lewis, without Cecil Shorts, without Marquise Lee. We can say it over and over, but it doesn't change the fact. It's true. They don't have enough guys to threaten defenses right now.
This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. 3 real notable injuries today. Todman with an ankle injury. Dakota Watson with a shoulder injury. Paul Posluszny with an arm injury. Haven't seen much reporting after the game today. We'll find out a lot of the status of those guys tomorrow with Gus Bradley's press conference. That'll do it for the scoreboard show tonight. Final score 17-9, Steelers over the Jags. The Jags go to Nashville to face the 1-4 Titans next week.
What happened the last time when they went there? They snapped a losing streak, did they not? They got
I believe that's
they,
right.
They got the season kind of turned around. They won 4 of their next 5, and I don't think this – I think this Titans team is eminently beatable, as they proved once again today, blowing a big lead at home to Cleveland. Despite a good effort from Charlie Whitehurst off the bench.
To borrow a line from the former Titans head coach Fisher, the home away from home for the Jaguars, right?
If you get just this ask win. Delaney Walker how he felt about that last year, all right? Here it comes again, buddy.
I like it. Well done.
Same to you.
We'll see you this week.
You got it.
For Mike Dempsey, for Tony Smith, for Linda Fortunato, this is J.P. Shadrick. That's it for the scoreboard show. Stick around. The fifth quarter show. Hacker and T-Wigger standing by next. That'll do it for this week on Jaguars Radio. We'll be right back.